be monitoring it. Okay. We are recording. So
awesome.
This will all be on record.
Yes. My name is Ruby Mendoza. I'm a first year PhD student here in writing rhetoric and American cultures, studying potentially professional writing.
Cool.
And I'm Kadaja Chapman Ball. I am a first year MA student here. I'm in the Critical Studies in Literacy and Pedagogy program, and I'm primarily interested in critical pedagogies.
And I am Donnie Johnson Sique. I am an assistant professor here at the University of Texas in Austin in the Department of Rhetoric and Writing. And I teach mostly classes in user experience design and environmental rhetoric.
Perfect. Well, Donnie, thank you so much for agreeing to this. It's been months. We've been emailing back and forth.
Yes.
I was like, my emails are probably annoying, but you've responded so kindly. Thank you so much. So again, this project is just storing the Writing Center here at MSU. There are several categories that we'll be talking over with questions. So context category, gathering stories, organizational culture, logistical questions, and then final questions. So okay. I'm going to begin with some context category questions. When did you work at the center and who was on the leadership team?
So I started in the Writing Center during my MA. It was my second semester of my first year of my MA. At the time, Trixie Smith was the director of the Writing Center and Diana Baldwin was the assistant director of the Writing Center.
Perfect. And while you were working, where were the center locations on campus? Can you describe the spaces?
Yeah, so I when I first started, I was aware that there were multiple locations on campus. I'm not going to be able to tell you all of them, but the two that I knew primarily were the main Writing Center in Bessie, and the Writing Center that was in the library. I also know that there was an online Writing Center that happened predominantly in Second Life. I think the Writing Center was really interested in Second Life and built an outpost there. I know that there were, I think there was like one additional Writing Center that was in a kind of, it was like a dormitory space slash classroom. Like it's like the building was a dorm, but it also had classrooms in it. And I think there was a Writing Center there as well. Other than that, I couldn't tell you some of the other locations. I thought there was one in the business school, but most of these other locations I just sort of heard about. I never visited. I was mostly either in the library or in the in Bessie.
Perfect. Thanks. What services did the center offer while you were there? And like, for example, writing groups, face-to-face appointments, walk-in services, online, etc.
So we had all those. We had walk-in services, so you could schedule ahead of time or you could schedule as you walked in. There were writing groups that were available that were facilitated mostly by sort of writing fellows. There was workshops that were offered, particularly I ran the Navigating the PhD workshop with Marilee Brooks Gillies. I think that those were the only services that I could think of off the top of my head.
Awesome. Thank you. We did one of these interviews with Marilee, so I remember a little bit of that. We're going to ask some questions about gathering stories. So my first question for you is, from your perspective, when you think of the Writing Center at MSU's history, what comes to mind?
This is very conflicting for me. I found the Writing Center at MSU very scary I found that place to be a spot that created a lot of anxiety for me. I absolutely hated working in the Writing Center. And not only did I hate working in the Writing Center, I remembered when it was time for when I applied for the PhD, I had other offers from two other schools, and I was really considering going to those two other schools. And I knew that I was I was competitive, but I couldn't get any of the sort of top tier fellowships at MSU because those fellowships are used to recruit people to MSU. Whereas I had a fellowship at another university and it was a quite a nice fellowship. And the only thing that MSU could offer me was a fellowship in the Writing Center, which I did not want, not because I hated Writing Centers. I actually love Writing Centers. But my experience being in the center for the year and a half prior made me not want to have that experience again. And when I was coming in as a PhD student, the Writing Center had redid the fellowship, and they redid it. It used to be with any fellowships, right? You do your first year fellowship in the Writing Center. And then your last year, right, when you're working in your station or going on the market, you'll do it in the Writing Center. Well, they changed it because it was a 5-year fellowship. And what they figured out is that most of the people would do the first year. They would go through 4 years. They would graduate. And then they would never come back to the Writing Center because they didn't take that fifth year. So what they ended up doing was they restructured the program or the fellowship program so that you did your first 2 years as a fellowship in the Writing Center. And that was a prospect that was really horrifying to me, only because I had those stressful experiences beforehand. And now I was under the prospect of having to be in the Writing Center for 2 years. So I was really literally looking at, and I remember saying this, I spoke to Malia Powell about this, and I even spoke to Bill Hart Davidson, and I said, I don't want to be in the Writing Center. I can't do 2 years in the Writing Center. This is terrifying. And I remember Malia saying to me, I think I still have the email someplace. She's like, well, I don't understand. She's like, Trixie is really happy and looking forward to you being in the Writing Center. And I couldn't really go into all the details as to why I did not like it. But you know what? I took the fellowship. I came to MSU. I was in the Writing Center for a year and a half. And then it was a year and a half. Jeff Grable bought out the rest of my time. And I went to Wide, where I worked as a research assistant for the duration of my time at MSU.
Thank you so much for being honest about your experiences. I appreciate it a lot. The next question, I'm going to kind of shift a little bit. So like how did you grow individually during this time at the Writing Center, or how didn't you grow? And did the Writing Center facilitate you reaching your personal or professional goals, or how didn't it do that?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, it's really interesting. So we had the Fellows Program, and part of the Fellows Program was designed to help us sort of grow as leaders, right? Even, I think, in a sense, grow as future administrators. What I can say is that, I think I can echo another one of my colleagues who I lived with. I'm not going to say their name in the recording, but we both, you know, would sort of debrief after our meetings, our fellow meetings, because we lived together. And one of the things that we often came back to was the fact that neither of us were really getting much of anything out of being in the Writing Center. Now, with that being said, I know that there were some other people who were getting a lot out of being in the Writing Center. So I sort of say that I was on the other side of the coin. I think that if you come into the Writing Center with no leadership experience, or you haven't been put in a position to have been an administrator before, or if your goals are kind of a bit foggy, I think that that being a fellow was a really productive space for you. The thing for me is that I already had a clear sense of what I wanted and who I was, and I'd already been put in leadership positions, and it wasn't as if the Writing Center was giving me something that I had never done before, right? I felt that a lot of the tasks that I was actually asked to do were pretty easy and rudimentary, right? And so I think that one of the reasons, there was an additional reason why I wanted to leave the Writing Center, and that was because I just kind of got bored. I got bored, and I felt that, I felt like it takes a very specific person to be interested in other people's ideas, especially if those ideas are coming from other disciplines. And I did find that I was interested in that work. I did find valuable, but at the same time, it got really repetitive, and it just got uninteresting, and it didn't work for me anymore. And so, on a certain level, I felt as if that space was just not a useful space for me. And that's why I left for Wide. I will say that Wide gave me an opportunity to do administrative things that I'd never done before. And so, yeah, the Writing Center was not very productive for me. I know that sounds like, I know that sounds terrible to say, but it just wasn't.
No, personally, I definitely understand, that perspective. So the next question we have kind of goes in a different direction, and then we'll kind of circle back to what we've been talking about. But do you recall any like outreach programs or significant events the center had like done or created while you worked there? It's okay if you can't.
Yeah, I feel, but you know, it's funny because I'm thinking that, I'm blanking because I feel like there was an outreach program. I think that we did, if I remember correctly, I think that we, because I was involved in this workshop a couple of times, we did some work with Upward Bound, specifically helping students with their, we call it with their like personal statements, applying to graduate schools, applying to jobs, right? Like we did kind of a version of navigating the PhD or professionalization version of that with the Upward Bound students. That was the only outreach activity that I remember the Writing Center doing. And I don't think that that was something that was initiated by the Writing Center. I think that that was something that was initiated by the Outward or the Upward Bound coordinator at MSU.
Awesome. Okay. I don't remember outreach programs that we've done like last semester. So I can understand, you know, it's hard to remember those things. So do you think that there were any opportunities that the Writing Center missed during your time there, or any opportunities that you didn't recognize until after your time there?
No, I can't think of anything, honestly, in terms of a missed opportunity. I don't know. I think that, and I'm speaking as a PhD student, right, in the program. And a PhD student who was in a leadership role, I think that opportunities and choices, or at least potential opportunities, were often constrained by the structure of the Writing Center, right? In the sense that we were always asked sort of questions about what type of mentoring would you like? But I don't think that there were a lot of sort of moments created wherein we were empowered to sort of create initiatives, right? I feel as if there was a very small group of people who were more likely to develop ideas and then bring them to the group, as opposed to people being empowered to develop opportunities as individuals. So I think in many ways our choices were constrained. Again, I think that the people who did really well in the Writing Center were people who had envisioned careers doing Writing Center work in the future. And these were people who got to teach the Writing Center class, right? I think it's like a Writing Center theory and practice course. Some folks who taught that went on to teach Writing Centers, or work in Writing Centers. Some folks who taught that don't work in Writing Centers at all. I think that there is some question, I would say, as to who had access to opportunities and who didn't have access to opportunities. I think that there was some level of favoritism there, but I mean, I'm happy. I'm where I need to be. So I'm not looking back at this in a bittered way. So.
No, I don't think you come off as bitter at all. And I appreciate the perspective. Apart from that, what is something else that you think that the Writing Center could have done better while you were there?
I think the Writing Center could have been less clicky. I think that one of the reasons why I hated the Writing Center and didn't want to be a part of that space is that I saw really easily how sort of cliques develop in the Writing Center, and the ways in which cliques were used to shut people out or create pariahs and sort of make it so that that wasn't necessarily a comfortable space. I felt that there were moments where things had happened and I, tried in earnest to do the right thing. And, I can think of two incidences, and these are incidences that literally sit in the back of my mind. And they come up every once in a while, and they're coming up now in my mind as we're talking about the Writing Center. And I think that in these moments, there were times where I went to people and I said, "Hey, this thing is going on. This is what's happening." And basically either I would get ignored, or it was sort of treated as if I had a personal vendetta against someone. And what I'd realize is that the people that I had brought complaints about were people who were favorites, were part of cliques within the Writing Center. And I didn't really have a strategy or a way of sort of combating that or engaging with that, other than I knew all I needed to do was just be consistent and continual and just sort of say, "Hey, this thing is happening. This is why this is a problem." And I knew that over time it brought it created a perception of me. And in the end, I remembered my my last semester in the Writing Center because I was the coordinator for the Library Writing Center. And there was this one particular coworker who was like, her behavior was habitual. I had seen this over the course of 4 years, what she was doing. And there was a coordinator who, a co-coordinator who was going to take over that role for me in the next semester moving forward. And he was just really incensed by her behavior. And he was like, I'm going to go and I'm going to report her to admin. And I remember saying to him, I'm like, look, it's a waste of time. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to report her to admin. They're going to say that you were influenced by me. Hey, Paul, the door, I'm in the middle of an interview. They're going to say that you were influenced by me. They are going to pull her out of the satellite writing center. They're going to bring her to the main writing center where they're going to monitor her. And then after some time, because she's not going to do these behaviors in the main writing center, they're going to let her come back to the satellite and all will be well. And I said, and he's like, well, that's fine, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I was like, well, when you do it, please do make sure that like you tell them that you had this conversation with me and tell them exactly every single thing that I told you. And he did it. And he came back and he said it. And I said, well, did you tell them that I told you exactly what they would do? And he said, yes. And I was like, well, what was their face? And he was like, their face was very shocked. And I was like, thank you. And so I always sort of think about that. I think that the Writing Center was just very clicky and I hated it. I know that you're probably getting interviews from people who like loved it, but like I absolutely like hated my time there.
I also think that, aside from the questions, that your experience and your story is so important to hear, because I think people try to create this like false idea of that writing centers are these healing collaborative spaces when there are tensions. So I just want to say I'm really enjoying and thankful for your genuine honesty. So.
Thank you. I do appreciate it. I am not trying to shit talk anyone, but I'm just going to be absolutely honest. Like I hated my time there.
No, and off topic, sorry, recording. I just did a podcast for my MA program and I wasn't talking in smack, but I was like, it's inherently white. There's no culture. We don't think about intersectionality. And those things were true. And the department chair was like, I agree. And we're changing the program because of you. So like there's real things that can be considered and thought about.
I'd also kind of want to echo this, and I do think that this might sort of fall under the category of missed opportunity. I felt that the Writing Center was a very white space, and I felt like there's this kind of thing that happens with people who are liberal, or at least perceived to be liberal, or perceived to sort of have the same politics, wherein I think they're less likely to address or see problems because they don't see them as being issues. But whiteness was definitely kind of a specter over the Writing Center. And to be honest with you, I have to sort of sit and marinate and think about this. And sometimes I wonder if some of my uncomfortability being in the Writing Center was that it was just so white. And I know that like the people that I'm good friends with in the Writing Center to this day, and I still talk with, like my friend Ashmita, or even some other folks, like the folks that I do keep in touch with are like the non-white people who worked at the Writing Center. I don't know what that's all about, but we spent so much time with each other. And I found that one of the things that we tried to do a lot is we tried to coordinate our schedules together so that we would sort of be in person or be with each other. So that just came up in my mind as you were saying that.
No, I find your perspective really refreshing personally. As someone who hears a lot from everybody around me that the Writing Center is this beautiful, wonderful place. And I'm grateful for the opportunities that it has given me. And I'm also currently employed by the Writing Center. So, you know, I definitely feel like I have to be a little careful about the things that I say. So, you know, since you are gone and are doing great things now, you can come back and give this perspective, and I appreciate that. Yeah. And for sure it is still a very white space. Every writing center I have been to is a very white space. And you know, I do contribute to that, obviously. So yeah, some of these questions, like now that we're having this conversation, definitely feel like I don't know, almost inappropriate to ask. Because our next question is, what is your favorite Writing Center story? But I think
I do have a favorite Writing Center story. And I tell this story, like I have like two. But one I just don't even think is like appropriate to even like share. It's mostly because it sort of gets into the area where like sort of sexuality becomes like kind of like humorous, because you're like, well, what is it that we're actually doing in this moment? And then another involves like sort of conflict, which I think in this weird way, like Writing Centers kind of like operate under the same sort of weird mantra that you see in retail, where the customer is always right. And I think that we try to sort of cater to the customer's need, especially when customers are recalcitrant and just like inherently not good people. So like sometimes I should sort of put that caveat there. I remember there was this one time, I was working on someone had came in. It was just like, it was a walk-in appointment, and it was a person, with a paper, and to be blunt, the paper was, it was a manifesto, but it was a manifesto on bottoming, and it was a paper that he'd wrote for a class. And I remember we were going over the paper, and it was funny, because like, it was like, obviously I'm gay, and there's like a lot of it was me sort of looking at it from, trying to look at this from like a serious academic standpoint, but I'm like, oh my God, this topic is insane. And I'm like, and in my mind, I was like, oh, you're going to submit this for a paper in class. But I remembered we went over it. It was a fine paper. And I was, you know, giving serious feedback. And I remembered that the question that he'd asked was, he's like, well, I want this to be impactful. And I want this to sort of like he wanted to circulate it, and he wanted it like to sort of do some work in the world. And I can't remember exactly what I said, but I was like, I'm like, it was one of those things where it was like, this is a funny but also important topic. But then I had to try to figure out a way of like broaching the subject by saying, like, this manifesto isn't the most unique manifesto in the world. Like, you can go online, you can go on Reddit, you can go anywhere, and you're probably going to find manifestos of like people sort of declaring like bottoms rights. Like it was just one of those things where I'm like this is, it's like a funny interaction in the Writing Center, but it was also a moment that sits with me, in the sense that like when you work in Writing Centers, you never know who's going to come through the doors, and you never know what you're actually going to be asked to read. And for the most part, you always know on some level you're going to find some engagement with the subject matter, right? Like, I always felt like Writing Centers gave me an opportunity to engage and learn from other people. And it's moments like that that I think really kind of tested my character as a person. Because I think that when people come to you with stuff like that, they're trusting you, right? To not be judgmental, and to create like a safe space where you can talk about ideas and sort of feel like you're not being judged. And I think on a certain level, that is one sort of, that story is kind of a story that like I carry with me, particularly today as a faculty member, because I have students who are writing about all sorts of things. I have students who talk to me individually about all sorts of things. One of the things that I think students like about me, I think this is something that some of my colleagues like about me, is that I'm really good about not being judgmental. I'm really good about taking situations that I think people would feel really nervous about and kind of pulling the humor out of it. And I think that's what I was doing in that moment with that paper. I'm like, are we doing this right now? Okay, fine. All right, let's do it. So I think that moment stands out to me, and I always come back to it, especially the moments where people brought papers that, you know, topic-wise, I found reprehensible, but I still had to figure out ways to, like, you know, to help them achieve the goal that they had. The next story involves, this poor student was just, like, a mess. She, it was an MA student in German. This is my last semester in the Writing Center, so I had very little fucks to give. And she came to the Library Writing Center, and she was habitually would harass consultants. And there was a consultant who was in the middle of working with another client. And for some strange reason, she felt that it was appropriate to interrupt that session. And she was trying to get feedback from that consultant, and the consultant was like, I'm in the middle of this, but she wasn't really taking no for an answer, and she'd done this habitually. So, you know, finally I'd worked with her before, and I just worked up and I was like, can I help you, like, what's the problem? He's working. And she just went into this profanity laced tirade against me. And I remember, like, part of our training, we were always like, no, like, try to de-escalate the situation, try to remain calm, you know, try to be respectful. And I think in that moment, I was like, no. And I think that, like, there are two things. You could do that. You could get angry, or you could just kind of sort of, you know, turn it into like a humorous situation. And I turned it into a humorous situation. I don't know why, but for some strange reason, having someone call me a son of a bitch and flip me off in the middle of the library just seemed insane. And I just kind of just, I don't know why. I can't remember half the things I said, but I know that it did involve laughing at her. Apparently laughing at her disarmed her. She left the scene and then went and complained to a reference librarian that I had laughed at her. And it was, I don't know, it's like these two memories stick in my mind because in a way, like, I think it was important for the other consultants to see that you don't have to behave rationally with someone who is behaving irrationally with you. And that this idea that you have to give like respect to another person who is harming you or insulting you, as being a sort of implicit or explicit policy of the Writing Center, is actually really dishonest and harmful. And so hopefully I always think of that moment because I know that there were other consultants that were there, and I want to believe that they sort of saw a lot more agency with respect to that situation. And so those two moments always stick in the back of my head with respect to the Writing Center. So I don't know if that's what you were going for with respect to stories, but those are my favorite stories.
I love both of those stories a lot. They really show like just your sense of humor and the way that you deal with, you know, unexpected situations. I love that you laughed at her. I think that's hilarious. all right, let's move on a little bit. Okay, so this question is, during your time at the center, did any significant world, political, or university events occur, like a pandemic? Can you describe the center's approach or response?
I mean, there were lots of things that were happening on campus. I don't really think the center was very much dialed into those issues. I mean, so MSU has, I think the chapter is defunct, but the only chapter of Young Americans for Freedom in the United States to be designated a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center was at MSU. And so YAF was doing a lot of events on campus, like for Indigenous Peoples Day. In the Virgin Islands, we say Puerto Rico VI Friendship Day. But they would host Catch an Illegal Immigrant Days, and they would put these flyers around campus. And obviously, they would go around profiling students. They did a lot of events like that. I don't think the Writing Center ever really responded to it. I think that the Writing Center in many ways was a very apolitical space. I just don't think that they were, like, even like with respect to like union issues, like everybody who is a grad student that's working in the Writing Center is technically a member of the union. The Writing Center really didn't engage in any type of like sort of union activity, or at least I don't think that we were encouraged to sort of engage with any type of activity that was coming out of the union. No, I think the Writing Center was very aloof to any, I mean, maybe we painted the rock one time, I don't know, but I kind of feel like that's just like, what's the point, you know? I don't know. Maybe if there were, and this might be like really kind of like crass to say, but there could be times where we kind of focus on gender and sexuality issues or sexuality issues. But the reason why like I'm just kind of like whatever about that is that I felt that at the time the Writing Center, when it did sort of address issues of sexuality, it was from like a very sort of like white gay perspective or theoretical perspective. And so I was just kind of like, what, I don't know, just kind of threw my hands. I was like, what's the point? These are not like the people who are here are not necessarily people who I have political community with, and these are not the people that I'm organizing with. And so in many ways it was easy for me to see them and the space as being apolitical, because I didn't necessarily think that like my struggles or my interests in the political or policy realm intersect with them in any way.
Thank you. Yeah. Disappointing to hear about the Writing Center, but not completely surprising. Okay. Last question in this section is, while you were there, were you aware of how the center was perceived by others, including faculty, staff, the community, or larger field?
Yeah. I mean, I think larger field, no. I don't think anybody really cares about the MSU Writing Center. University, yes. I think that one of the things that MSU Writing Center, I think most writing centers often try to sort of combat, is like this idea of the Writing Center being a space where you're just there to sort of do editing, right? To sort of check grammar. And in fact, is a place where you come to sort of talk and develop ideas. I think that that is a never ending struggle in the Writing Center community. I think that Writing Centers have tried to do all sorts of creative things, from changing the names from tutors to consultants and tutees to clients, to changing even the names of Writing Centers. So I know that there was this big sort of movement away from like labs, like calling it like writing labs and calling them Writing Centers, because labs sort of have like this science, like formulaic approach. So I think the Writing Center in terms of its perception to the university community was always going to be something that's always gonna be an issue that the Writing Center is gonna combat. And that was definitely something that they were trying to combat when I was a consultant. I think in the department and from the standpoint of students in the program and faculty perspectives of the Writing Center, I think that it's really important to contextualize that I existed in a very interesting point in the history of rhetoric and writing at MSU, because I don't know if you folks are aware, but and I think the Writing Center is still like this, but rhetoric and writing, RAC, and the Writing Center used to always be three separate entities. Rhetoric and writing was a free floating program in the College of Liberal Arts. RAC was actually a department, but it was a department that was ran by American Studies, which is now defunct. And the Writing Center was just basically like a free-floating entity in the college. And so as a student, your life in, I guess, that sort of ecosystem was largely dependent upon where you got your funding. So if you were a TA, you were primarily in RAC. If you were a fellow, you were primarily in the Writing Center. And if you were a fellow, like you got a university fellowship or whatnot, you were in rhetoric and writing, and your office was literally in Olds Hall, because that's where that's where rhetoric and writing primarily used to be located, the basement of Olds Hall. So in a lot of ways, the reason why I bring this up is that my last year in the PhD program, that's when RNW began to be absorbed by RAC. And I think the year after that, that's when we took over leadership of RAC, and American Studies faculty either stayed or left or retired, right? And so I think that for a lot of folks, the Writing Center was just kind of like its own thing in the sort of rhetoric and writing ecosystem, in the sense that I think a lot of people didn't have to interact with it. And so if you don't have to interact with something, you don't really have your opinion of it. Most of the people who had opinions of RAC, or not RAC, of the Writing Center, were people who literally had to deal with the Writing Center, or interact. I didn't say deal, but interact with the Writing Center. So if you were a TA in writing rhetoric in American cultures, what you were doing is you were probably interacting with the Writing Center, in the sense that, you know, you were asking consultants to come and give presentations to your classes, or you were taking your classes to the Writing Center for a presentation on Writing Center services, or your students were coming to the Writing Center to actually work on their stuff, or you had an opinion of the Writing Center because you worked in it, right? So you saw the sort of day-to-day functions and the comings and goings. So that's kind of like, I've given you like three different or four different tiers of people's perspectives to the Writing Center, but I think that that's how I would sort of say faculty and students perceive the Writing Center.
Thank you so much. That's super interesting to hear. I didn't know any of that, those distinct organizations. We're moving into organizational culture, and some of the things, some of the questions, it feels like you've already answered them. I'm just going to repeat them because we're required to. So the first question is, how would you describe the key values, pedagogies, or culture of the Writing Center at Michigan State University?
Do you hear those crickets?
Absolutely. There is the answer. Should we move on to the second question?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. What tensions did you experience individually, organizationally, and globally while working at the Writing Center? Did the center help you navigate those tensions?
Absolutely not. The center created those tensions. I'm trying to figure out how to talk about this damn woman without actually like using her name. Yeah, I can't be nice, so I should pass on this question.
No, I think that is super valid, and we never want to put anyone in harm or at potential risk. I absolutely agree. So the third question, were there intentional efforts in place to recruit staff across disciplines? For example, can you describe the recruitment process for graduate and undergraduate consultants?
So, I think that they were, I will say this, I think the Writing Center was always interested in making sure that they had people coming from a diverse set of disciplines. And I know that that was part of having, so they did have a satellite business writing center, that's just sort of coming to my mind. And I know that they tried to get students from the business world to sort of participate in the Writing Center. I know that for the most part, if I can remember correctly, most of the folks that did work in the Writing Center were either folks that came from RAC or folks that came from English. And again, I feel like that's not really different from a lot of Writing Centers, because I think that the sort of pipeline for recruitment really comes out of the these traditional places where Writing Centers have been traditionally housed, right? I think for the most part, even though every single discipline on campus has a stake in writing and can talk about how to write in their specific discipline or field, I think for the most part, people will always think of either writing programs, writing departments, and English departments as being the primary places where people or the primary places where folks are going to be more concerned about that. And I might even throw in TESOL programs. And this might actually get back to issues with the Writing Center. I need to sort of formulate my opinion about it. But I remembered the ways in which ESL, I felt like the Writing Center could have played a larger role in sort of facilitating discussions around how second language, English as a second language learners or speakers, I should say, were sort of treated within the institution. Because there were definitely, I remember there were students. And I remember going to Wells Hall with a student because I was just so incensed. It was an undergraduate student, and the thing that like I was really concerned about was that there was very little help that I could give her in that space with respect to her paper, because there were larger structural issues that needed to be addressed, in the sense that I think at the time I said, I am concerned about, there was a way in which their English proficiency, I felt, may create like barriers, not necessarily just to success at the university, but just like navigating day-to-day life, like in East Lansing. And I'm like, there has to be like some type of like free like language services that were available. And at the time, I don't know if that's helped or that's improved. At the time, there wasn't. At least there wasn't anything that that student didn't have to pay for out of pocket. And at that moment, that's when I saw like a real sort of breakdown in the sort of ways in which we use TOEFL scores to admit students in the program. Because what ends up happening is like, okay, you can pass a test, but you pass a test and you bring that student to the university, there's like that test score assumes a lot about that student that isn't really sort of bringing into focus what their material reality actually looks like. And the fact that there weren't support services for these students, the fact that we know that students who were taking, I think at the time it was called Preparation for College Writing, PCW, which was the sort of basic writing class before you get into the RAC 113, yada, yada, yada courses. These were classes that I knew students would have to take two, sometimes three times with zero credit, right? Over and over again, because there were issues with their ability to sort of like use English that the university was not interested in helping them with, right? There was no programs for that. And so I wish that the Writing Center had taken more of a role to be a leader in helping faculty and the university understand that these students just did not have the resources that they need. And I know that that might be tangential to the question that you asked, but the question that you asked like helped me to sort of think back to another question that you asked previously. So thank you for that.
No, absolutely. That was well put. And that's something deeply to consider, ways that we're failing students. And that was a moment. And that's truth. So it's powerful. If possible, could you share with us about the design and implementation of the undergraduate course to train undergrad consultants for the center? If so, when did this occur? And what was the rationale behind creating and requiring this course?
Oh, God. I don't think that that course existed when I came. I think that if it's the course that I'm thinking about, is it the Writing Center Theory and Practice course?
Yes.
I think the first time I was aware that I personally was aware that course was taught, and I'm not sure if it was the first time that that course was actually taught, was when Matt Cox taught it. I don't know if that course had been taught beforehand. I could be wrong. It may have been. But I don't know anything about the design of that course. I know that we did have sort of in the summertime, right before classes started, we had a Writing Center orientation when we just sort of brought in all of the Writing Center staff in. And that would be just like a way of sort of, I guess, creating community and sort of setting an agenda, not just for the semester, but for the entire year. And I felt like that was a crowd of mixed people, some who were consulting for the first time. I remember hearing an undergraduate student complain. And this complaint seemed pretty valid to me, or it seemed valid to me. And that complaint was not really understanding why undergraduate students were required to take the course, but graduate students weren't required to take the course in order to work in the Writing Center. And, you know, like, I don't really, like, personally, I don't have an answer for that. I didn't have an answer for that at the time. But I do think that it's one of those things that I'm not really sure anybody was really interested in answering. And it kind of made me think if that course was, or that sort of requirement that was attached to the course was really just kind of a way to sort of retain enrollment in a class. So a course for the sake of a course, not necessarily a course for the sake of improving people's knowledge about the Writing Center. This is speculation. Feel free to ignore, but I do think that that is something that someone said to me that I was like, I don't have anything to say about that because I think that that is a valid criticism.
I had the exact same complaint when I was an undergrad in my undergrad institution. Because we had to take a training course and the graduate students did not. Also, I'm very thankful that the undergrads get paid here because I did not get paid as an undergrad writing tutor. And I had a full training course and then the graduate students had like 2 weeks of training and they got paid. So, you know, at least the undergrads are getting paid here. But I also have definitely thought that, you know, graduate consultants are not, in my opinion, any more prepared than undergrad just by virtue of being grad students. So I'm glad you brought that up because I'm kind of passionate about that. But all right, we're going to move on to some just logistical questions. And then we'll have one more set of questions after that. So when working in the center, how did you organize and facilitate consultations?
So I think, what I traditionally did was, obviously it started by reading, the paper aloud and I would give them either the client, I would give them the opportunity either to read or if they prefer that I read, which I was hoping that they would not do, but I would say 90% of the time they would ask me to read out loud. And I think a lot of it was that several people just, this is very weird and awkward, but several people were just like, I just really like the sound of your voice. And so I'm like, but like, people are weird. But like what I would do is I would have like a system of marking. So I would have like pencils and different color markers, and I would tell them what I was doing ahead of time, sort of say like, I'm going to be, as I read this aloud, I'm going to be making sort of notes. And basically as we make notes, we'll be able to sort of come back to this. I think with individual papers, that was a lot easier. Oftentimes, you would have students who would come in with dissertations, and the dissertating students were a little bit harder because they were not interested in talking about ideas. They were just really interested in editing services. And those were usually like hour long appointments. I think that if I remember correctly, I used to have someone, people used to schedule like two back-to-back hours, especially if there was like a vacancy. And I think there was a policy that was put in place that required like a breakup. But what I would do with those, because it's just kind of insane to like read an entire dissertation, I said, all right, let's sort of break this up by chapter, and we can just like read a chapter in this session, and we can just like sort of go through the entire chapter and read it once, and then sort of talk about notes like afterwards. Or what we can do is we can sort of talk through the chapter. And so I would give them a little bit more of an option on how to structure feedback, so that it wasn't exhausting for them, but it also wasn't exhausting for me at the same time. And then just sort of agree to have like a standing appointment where they would come back and we could continue with the rest of the document.
Awesome. Thank you. That's kind of how my sessions go too. All right. Do you remember ever receiving or being directed to a handbook when you were hired?
Was there a handbook? I think there was a handbook, and if there was, I didn't read it. I think there was a handbook, but like I doubt that I read it. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Please describe that. Sorry. Could you describe the center's approach to hiring and or like onboarding and training?
I don't think I can describe it. I don't know if there's really a formal process to it. I know that orientation was a big thing, but like, I think you had a probationary period where when you first started out, you had to be, for the most part, in the main center. And I think a lot of that had to do with wanting to observe like newly hired people to make sure that they had good practices. And I think that there was kind of a limit on how much you could work when you were first hired. I always thought it was weird because like new consultants would come in mid-year, but they didn't necessarily have the same sort of like requirement as consultants who maybe were coming on in the summer and in full like sort of consulting mode in the fall, in the sense that those would have to go through the Writing Center orientation. So I think, I don't know, I think that the sort of hiring and onboarding was very inconsistent, but I think that it really sort of depended upon when you came into the Writing Center during the time of year.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Last logistical question is, do you remember any kind of general concerns about funding?
No.
And we've reached the final questions. Ta-da! Based on your current work in academia, what you've learned What you have learned since leaving the Writing Center at MSU, what advice would you provide to your past self working in the Writing Center at MSU? I could repeat that if that wasn't clear.
Yeah. What advice like I would give to myself working there?
What have you learned since leaving the Writing Center, and what advice would you give your past self?
First bit of advice I'd give my past self is, you have healthcare through the graduate student union. Go and get a prescription for anxiety meds. It'll save you a lot of time. The second advice that I would give to myself is, this is a temporary situation. Do not stress yourself out. The other advice that I would give myself is, every opportunity, I think that I was really good about taking opportunities while I was in grad school, in the sense that, you never really know what you want to do unless you've tried it. And one of the things that I did was I said, well, you know, I've worked in a writing center, but I've never worked in a writing center as a full-time or a sort of quasi administrator. So let me go ahead and try this. And I saw it didn't work. And I said, well, you know, I've never ran a research center as an assistant, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. Right. So I kind of treated MSU as an opportunity to sort of like test around different jobs. And I think that if I could go back to the past and talk to my prior self, I would say like the sort of way in which you're approaching work at MSU, like you're doing a good job. This is going to benefit you in the future because you will have a good sense of what you want to do and also what you need to say no to. And I think that if anything, I would like my sort of presence in that moment to a past self of mine would just be to sort of affirm the choices that I've made. And to sort of tell myself to keep on that track because, and I'll sort of, frame this, by saying, the people who I was in the writing center with, who framed their entire experiences as, students around the writing center, we all have different career trajectories. I think that when I noticed this, I remember saying this as a student, but, I thought that it became very apparent, when we were all on the market at the same time, because I think that a handful of people framed their identity around the writing center. I think it was more difficult for them when they were applying for jobs, when they were on the job market, because they really couldn't talk about themselves outside the context of the writing center. And perhaps maybe that was kind of a failure on the writing center's part in terms of helping students to professionalize themselves and to think about how they could translate those experiences into stories that I think potential employers would understand as being translatable or skills that are translatable. And so what I will say is that's why I say I'm going to go back and reaffirm the decisions that were the choices that I was making at the time or thought I would make, because again, those job group sessions were interesting because I came in some days and people were crying and I was like, what is going on? And I just didn't understand it. But I also realized that a lot of people were crying because I think they made terrible decisions early on. So this is also me, because I know that y'all are students and I don't really know. Well, y'all are all new. You're relatively new. I spoke to your class, I believe. I spoke to your class with Alex. The thing that I'm trying to say in this moment is that every single opportunity you have, and I may have said this, every single opportunity that you have to do something that's different, take that opportunity. people will tell you that you are making a mistake, that it is wrong. I will tell you that those people are giving you bad advice. This is your one time, but it's probably your last time. This is your last time to experiment with things with very little cost to yourself, right? And I think that the best that you can do is to take those opportunities and put them on your CV. And even if they're not things that you follow up on, they become stories that you can talk to people about in the future. And you know what? In all honesty, as much as I hated working in the Writing Center, I have 8 years of Writing Center experience between MSU's Writing Center and the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga's Writing Center, which I love. And one of the things that I can say is that if and when I get tenured, if I were asked to run the Writing Center here at UT, I would absolutely do it because I have the experience. And I took that opportunity to get that experience. And if I were asked to do that at UT, like one of the things that I would, sort of walk into that experience with is, how can I make this place not like the place that I hated? How can I make this place enjoyable for the students who are working here, all students who are working here? I think that's how I would answer your question. I know that was a very long-winded way of answering it. I know there was some advice that was laced into it, but I think that that is probably the most important message that I have to offer.
Hey, I deeply value that. I am valuing everything you're saying, just letting you know. I'm snapping over here. Not really.
Do they know who you're interviewing, by the way?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I'm sure they're probably wondering, is like, what is this bitch gonna say? I have a reputation in that program.
So there's two more questions. Is there anything else that you would like to share about the history of the center?
You know, I think that, you know, the Writing Center is actually a really interesting space and I would sort of come at this from not necessarily the history of the center, but the history of the rhetoric and writing program. When I think of the rhetoric and writing program, I think of four spaces, one of which isn't even relevant anymore. But I think of Olds Hall, I think of Bessie Hall, and I think specifically of Bessie 317, and I think of the Writing Center. And the reason why I think of the Writing Center is that I think that for the purposes of the R&W program, the Writing Center oftentimes was a central hub people would just come together and talk with each other, right? Share information, share stories, eat, right? There was that central like kind of bar where food would be, and you just like walk in and get food. This is where we had a lot of the department talks, where job candidates came to speak, or where people who were giving lectures would come to speak. And so I think the Writing Center, I think the sort of history of the center, or just even the history of the center in relation to the R&W program, I think it's always has been, as long as I was there, an important gathering place, right? Regardless of like any of the other stuff that was sort of surrounding the department, I felt that the Writing Center was a really important space for people to decompress, to gossip. It was a good space.
I love that so much. And finally, is there anyone else you worked with at the Writing Center that we should reach out to potentially?
Yes, there are a lot.
Name drop, Don. Name drop.
I don't have all of their emails. I have some of their emails. Ashmita Gupta, ASH. Have you interviewed her already or you reached out to her?
No.
Okay. Ashmita Gupta, ASHMITA, Gupta, GUPTA. She's in Australia, Melbourne, Australia. I could try to get her contact, and that would be a fun.
Please, Donnie.
There's Cassidy Kettner. I think I can get in contact with him on Facebook or on LinkedIn. Owen Kilmer is another one. Let's see, who else? Ashmita Owen. I'm trying to think of people who I still am in contact with. Who else? I think that those would be the folks that like I can. Abby Brengel, ABBY, and Brengel, BRENGLE. And her husband, Noah Ullman, Ullman, ULMANN. They both worked in the Writing Center at the time we overlapped. Yeah, I think that those are all really good people.
Perfect.
Have y'all spoke to Dave? Well, y'all are only looking at consultants, right?
No, coordinators.
Have y'all spoke to Dave Sheridan at all?
We might have. I can check.
Dave Sheridan was the person who ran the Writing Center before Trixie got there.
I don't think we have.
Yeah, y'all should interview Dave Sheridan.
Okay.
Especially. And if you haven't, after Dave Sheridan, another person, what is this lady's name? Is it Nan? Jan? Ooh. There was a lady before a woman. There was a woman before Dave Sheridan who went. She left the Writing Center and went to the college. So she basically is in the role that Bill Hart Davidson is in right now. And I can't remember her name. I want to say it's like Jan Swearengen keeps coming in my head, but it's not Jan Swearengen. It's that's a different person who passed not that long ago in our field. But I can't remember. I'm going to have to ask Bill HD about it. I can give you the name. But like those two people, I think, are interesting from an institutional standpoint, because the Writing Center, I had always remembered when I came in with Trixie, who had recently been hired. And a lot of the people who were there had overlapped when Dave Sheridan was director of the Writing Center. And some of the folks talked specifically about how much the Writing Center had changed, and some of those changes, for the most part, I think they felt were not good. And so Abby and Noah are two people who kind of overlap, I believe, with Dave. I could be wrong, but I think so.
Sorry, my cat keeps scratching me. That is so good to know. And if you could send us names and emails, Donnie, we would value
almost that definitely. So much. I'll make that part of my mission today.
Yay. Well, thank you so much, Donnie. We're going to stop the recording.
All right. Gotcha. I can go ahead and stop it right now. So.